Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 69 of Competitive Magic with the Carnies. I'm your host from Italy, Andrea Mengucci, and joining me we have Anthony Lee from Australia.
Hola.
And a very special guest, which is actually next to me. If you're watching me on YouTube, you can see Marco Del Pivo's smiley face.
Hi. Hi, everyone.
Buongiorno, Pivo, just like I say to every YouTube video, basically. Now, you know, it's probably the first time that you're here in my room next to me doing some content.
Yeah, exactly. You can see now the right Buongiorno, Pivo.
Glad to see you here. Of course, if you're watching on YouTube again, you can see Pivo's happy face with two Rhino tokens in hand. This is the your win from last week. We had to delay this week's episode because Pivo was a very busy man. Only had this Friday afternoon, but we're gonna post this as soon as possible so that if you're planning on playing the original championship this weekend, you're planning on playing Rhinos, which is. I'm just expecting to be so popular Rhinos this weekend.
Yeah, right now it will be the most popular deck that people play, mainly because I just released a guide for Rhinos, and a lot of people start texting me or writing in DM to asking something for the regional. So I expected a lot of Rhino right now.
Yeah, if you are planning on that, definitely check out Pivo's deep dive that I had the pleasure to see writing.
While we were flying.
Yeah, while we were flying, Pivo was writing this. While we were traveling back home in the car, you're writing something. And at the end, even something like, Pivo, did you add the part about Servant Land? Oh, no.
I forgot that one and I...
So you had to add that one. But yeah, it was... The surveillance, that's...
It's a new improvement for the deck that I'd like to test, and there is some times to test it, and I think that a kind of cool land, and we can switch for a Caitratrium or something like this to understanding if the surveil part is better for the deck, obviously. I still need to figure it out if I want one or two for the deck, but there is some times to test it, so I just always leave to all you guys that listen to this podcast and see this video that something to test it. And
this weekend, of course, the results will also tell us how many, maybe something like that, right? Anthony, this weekend, I'm sure that you helped some of your friends practice for the RC as well, right?
Yeah, a little. There's a US RC. I didn't help anyone for the other ones, but I think there's also one in Canada.
Yeah, there's the Ottawa RC and the Denver RC.
The Ottawa, right? Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Ottawa. Yeah, the capital of Canada. Maybe there's even something else, but definitely that's going to be a big important news. Rhinos in Ghent was 15% of the metagame they won. And I can see going up. I can see the number going up. I can see all those like scam and merc type player being joining the Rhinos boat.
Yeah, I suppose that their scam and merc type will be a little bit afraid to play the deck over Rhinos, just because, for example, as we can see in the two converted rate of metagame, we see that Rhino and Yagmoth have the best conversion.
Mm-hmm.
So this is such an important thing to keep in mind for testing a deck, because it's okay to play the deck that people most will be played, but also the deck that have the highest conversion will be one of that to take care of. So Rhinos.
Yeah. So you're saying that it's important to think of the deck that beats Rhinos as well.
Yeah. Exactly.
So for example, like as a Rhinos player yourself, what is a deck that you would be afraid to play against?
I think that right now Tron could be one of the top deck that you can pick, because Rhino should adapt the meta that we are right now. So, for example, the difference between now and Barcelona, there is any Commandeer or Dragon Lord Charmov inside. This meaning that...
Barcelona, you mean the Pro Tour.
The Pro Tour, sorry, guys.
That you also top 8ed, by the way.
Yeah, I was... Two Rhinos, two times that I pick Rhinos, and two times that I have enough luck to get a result. And yeah, the main difference is there is no specific 8 for Tron. So Tron could be the deck that I'm most scared about to play against right now. And the second one could be, honestly, Yawgmoth, just because there are some strange interaction about with the deck, but it's a fine matchup.
Yeah, so in Barcelona, actually, you played against Rhinos twice in the Swiss.
Yes.
And you beat them both. They were also not bad players. They were Javier Dominguez and Simon Nielsen.
Yeah.
So I would say that even if that's not like a very good matchup, you definitely have the tools. Like Rhinos, even it's in its worst matchup, like Living End and Tron, I think has the tools to beat. Like it's just a very, very solid best deck at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. You have the pair colored and the correct card to set up every kind of matchup. For example, right now, Living End is a deck that we can just give up. In the past, also in Barcelona, we just give up this kind of matchup. But right now with Tishana, it's changed a little bit the game. So this meaning that is deck that we can play against it, not to focus at 100%, but we can play against it. And yeah, in Barcelona, I wanted to focus on Tron matchup, and I got lucky enough to the change that I made inside.
Because the testing guys in Barcelona focused on the Tron versus Rhinos matchup a lot, and you had a lot of charm at the end. You played 2, right?
Yeah, I ended with 2. I started with 4, obviously. Yeah. And then I just start trimming card for because I don't want to have an all-in side for Tron, but is 2 were the number correct for playing that kind of card.
Okay. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, so would you also expect there to be quite a bit more Tron as well? Because I know a lot of people had stopped playing Tron because it just looked like it was so poorly positioned. But, you know, if people are looking to beat Rhinos now, they might play Tron. So maybe you could try to be a step ahead. Like, would you recommend adjusting Rhinos to try to fight Tron? Because, you know, now Tron players would have seen Matos do well with it. And maybe they would go back to their old friend Tron, you know, for this event, in light of the new menu.
Yeah, I think that you are right, because maybe Rhino should have one or two slot for Tron over the past decklist that I post, just because as you say, it could be maybe the third or the fourth deck, most played deck in the next RC. So probably yes, I will maybe change something in the deck. I have to, I don't know what right now, but it could be a change that we can make. Maybe Charmov is a card that we can take it back in the sideboard, because Commandeer is not as good as before, because we have Tishana right now for the Tron matchup that he can adjust a little bit, but Charmav could be one or two off in the side that we can just take care about it.
Yeah. Yeah. This is definitely an important thing, like how many people will actually show up with Tron, which is, you know, still a deck that it did pretty poorly overall. Surely Martos arrived to the top 8, but looking at the combined win rates of the regional championship, Tron had a 46% win rate. So, you know, overall, still.
Yeah, it's also it's not just about how popular it is, though, right? Because you remember Javier and I talked about this as well, but also how good it is. Like, if there's more Rhinos, then there's also going to be more Tron in the later rounds just by virtue of it doing better overall, right?
Yeah. I guess since you're here, another good thing that the listeners may want to know is that Marco Del Pivo is one of the very few people right now that are qualified to all the Pro Tours and Worlds as well. And that's definitely a very good privilege alongside with you, Anthony.
Oh,
so
yeah.
There's a in this call, like, I think there's like only 9 people in the whole world.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah, I think, oh, well, then, no, well, the people from Worlds, whoever, the winner of the Brazilian championship as well, right?
Yeah, Rastaf.
Rastaf.
But he's not qualified to all the Pro Tours.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe only the eight people in
the eighth, the top eight, the world and you.
Me, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
That's kind of funny to think of. Yeah. I'm sure Javier. So like we have a 66% of presence in that, but hopefully.
Somehow I don't think Javier's going to have trouble making it to Worlds.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know what the right words to say that, but I was going to say that as well.
Don't worry. He always tells us every time.
All the carnage will go at Worlds.
We will.
Yeah.
And you.
Next time. Yeah. The Worlds has already been announced in Las Vegas at the end of October, I think.
At the end of September, I think.
September. Okay. Sure. That's good. We're going to have another very large gap between the last the Worlds and the... It's okay.
Oh, that'll be something to
fill. The next event that we have lined up is, of course, the Magic Con Chicago. We're going to play the Pro Tour. And I think, Anthony, you travel the same day as us, right? Next Wednesday?
On Wednesday American? I leave. But mine is a bit more circuitous because I found like a very cheap route that goes through Japan, but that's kind of an upside. Like, you know, I would have to take something like a 9-hour layover in Tokyo, but I was like, you're telling me I can pay less money and spend 9 hours in Tokyo? I mean, okay, I'll take that deal. So it'll take me a little longer to get there, but we are leaving at about the same time on Wednesday.
And then we're gonna go in Chicago for a long time, actually. I can't wait, and I'm sure you as well, to just leave all the work back and just focus only on testing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like not having to. is people, you know, again, you work as a interior designer.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have your own store and everything. You do a lot of testing, but, you know, sometimes.
Yeah, I need to relax. I can't focus at 100% in the testing
business right
now, because also when it comes night, for example, in the evening, I don't have all the focus for the testing, so I need to just clear my mind. So I'm happy to fly on Wednesday for focusing on my testing and Limited and obviously the Pioneer portion.
Yeah, the Draft and Pioneer, which we haven't played in a while, I would say.
Yeah, since a lot.
I think Athens maybe was the last time. That was in June.
Yeah.
Last June, because we didn't play the RC in September. So yeah, it's been a while. We have a lot of catch up to do, and, you know, seeing if the new set brings news and stuff like that.
Yeah, we need an update to the Pioneer portion.
So just go there for, well, like 10 days or 12 days before actually the Pro Tour, just to... Yeah, just to do that fun little stuff while also getting prepared for the tournament.
Yeah, just throwing it out there. But, you know, when you mentioned that Pivo is an interior designer, think about that, guys. I mean, Pivo is the Italian that the other Italians go to say, make my stuff look better. So, you know, he's very, very fashionable sort of guy. So, you know, quite an achievement. Also, you know, you can open Crashing Footfalls in this limited set, right? You're good. You can open... There's a Cascade card and there's a... Footfalls in.
Wait, you didn't know? You didn't know, Anthony?
I didn't know. I'm just letting you know. Oh, well, he did it? Oh my god, he's gonna top it another PT.
Yeah, I started draft and that was my first pack.
Oh wow, I didn't see that. That's so sick.
Yeah,
that's good.
It was something that I was okay. This is a sign, obviously, but it's maybe too much for me.
Is the Crashing Footfalls good in limited?
I think it's okay. I just want to. I have to take it because I don't care about the rest of the card. But
yeah, it's also five ticks.
Yeah, there are a lot of behind stuff instead of the speaking. But I think it could be nice. I don't know. It's slow, we all know, but it's just something that happens one in a time, and it could be 2-4-4.
Honestly, at the pre-release, I made a joke. I had like a one drop. And we played so much against a friend of mine, against Puya. I played against Ryan, and said, I went forest to spend Crashing Footfall. That was a joke. And then somebody said that he was actually in the set.
Yeah.
There's so many cards in the set. There's like Spellsnare I've seen.
Yeah, there are a lot of reprints. Also, for example, Show and Tell that.
No, but like from the list, you have like some random like World Spine Worm.
Yeah,
it's wild.
Oh yeah,
it's
wild. I'm definitely planning on trolling Javier by making some up. You know, it's very easy. Like during spoiler season, I remember there's been times during spoiler season where I just make up cards that would be absolutely perfect for what he wants, and you know, he falls for it way more often than he should. But now it's pretty believable. Like, I could just tell him that. I don't know, Blood Tithe Harvest. You can open a Blood Tithe Harvester in a pack, and it would be hard for him to disbelieve me, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the other day, I opened, like, 30 rares in my pack, and one of them was Izoni, okay? And I remembered about the Guilds of Ravnica Izoni, the Golgari one that was busted in that set. But no, somehow there's a new Izoni that's not the same, costs the same, like, yeah.
Yeah, it's so confusing.
Very confusing.
Well, that's not weird. They always do like new versions of legendary characters. They weren't going to make the old one.
No, but I was somehow expecting the old one because, you know, so many cards from the list added.
Oh, I think they avoided trying to make confusing ones like that. I could be wrong, though.
All right. So we have definitely a lot of great plans ahead of us. I wanted to stay to the, like, for this podcast episode, I wanted to focus on Rhinos a bit more. And of course, as we said, you have written your deep dive and everything. And again, if you're interested, definitely give this a read. But, like, do you want to maybe go in depth into some of the most tricky matchup? Like, I don't know if you know this, but Pivo and our teammates, Makuto, Marcos, you guys went 10-0 in the Rhinos mirror match.
Oh.
And the Rhinos mirror match, it's ideally a very luck-based matchup, you would say, because, you know,
whoever was seen the most cascading
part, a lot of cascade cards, and etc.
A matchup like this.
But once you make like a 10 or a record, that's like,
I think, you know.
There is something behind it, yeah.
You can't get lucky that many times. Obviously, you can, but it's a lot. So, yeah, what I wanted to ask you today is kind of like how to approach some of the matchup. Also, another matchup that I find very interesting is Blur and Murktide versus Rhinos, because that's a matchup that Blur and Murktide players say that it's good for them. But I've seen you beating like a couple of Blur and Murktide players this past weekend. So again, like I think that so Rhinos as a a name for being like an easy deck.
Mm-hmm.
And some games are easy. Like some games are actually just like,
yeah, you should just jamming
very easy and etc. But then there's some games that actually like very hard. Like I feel like exactly the matchup Murktide versus Rhinos is very, very hard. So, you know, today maybe you could share as much as you want in these two dynamics in order to, you know, help the player out there if they find themselves like, I think you told me something about the Mulligan decision that you made in the mirror match.
Yes.
With the so yeah, I think this is an interesting thing to say to the listeners.
Yeah, I want to try maybe today in this podcast to talk about a little bit different instead of side in and side out.
Exactly.
I don't honestly care about that because everyone can understand which card you want to side or not. But mainly you need to understand which kind of role you have with Rhinos. Because as I say, Rhino is a classic combo deck if you want to talk about that like this, because it's just a tapping three and make 8 or 10 power. But most of the time, it could be a deck that isn't more tempo play. This is the difference, and I want to maybe we start with Murktide, the most popular matchup that you can face, and is a little bit tricky.
Yeah, for sure. So
one thing about the decklist, honestly, before starting in Murktide.
Exactly.
The decklist. I played this member in Ghent, but we can just change something. For example, right now I'm playing the fourth Dead Gone over the dismember. Dismember is just it was a meta call about Yagmoth that it was for me the second or the third most popular deck, and I want to have a big removal with a cheap cost. So this is why dismember was here. is okay against Murtad with Shredder, but it's not what I really want against them. Rhino have maybe 55 cards that are pretty locked. Is the last 5 card there isn't a correct way to build it, because it's just more how do you want to adjust based on your play style, instead of I want to put this and this card because for some matchup. This is what I'm thought about Rhino right now. Mainly, for example, if I want to check about the new decklist, I will change two land, the Surveil land.
Yes,
I want to put probably
the Thundering Falls and the Hedge Maze.
Yes, I will change for the Ketra Triumph. And mm-hmm. Right now, honestly, I change the Mountain. Okay. I want to see if the Mountain is the land that I needed. Because against, for example, against Murketed is a land that I really want, but because I take less damage. But right now, Surveilling part is better if I want to play two Murketed region main deck. That's the main difference, that why I'm side out when I took out the Mountain.
Would you still play 4 Wooded Foothills?
Yeah. Okay. I'm still playing 8 fetch. I think that 8 fetch is mandatory in this deck. You can maybe try to understanding if you want 3 or 4 Lorien Reveal. But if you want to play 4 Murtide, I'm pretty sure I want 4 Lorien Reveal and more fetch that I can. Because I want to cast the Aigar Murtide possible.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying maybe since you cut the Mountain... Yeah, oh, that's okay. You just still you still think that this is the best best land to get. Okay, okay. You still would play 2 Mutavolt and 1 Gemstone Cavern.
For now, yes, because I want to maximize my Flame of Honor. If I don't, or if you guys don't want to play, for example, Flame of Honor main deck, you can just took out Mutavolt for a better mana base. You can play the second Gemstone Cavern over the 1 Mutavolt. So there is a little decision that you can make. But it's more based on what you expected and how you want to play Rhinos.
Mm. What about, like, what is a card that you would say, like, I want to improve my Rhinos matchup, I'm going to play more copies of, you know, X or whatever. Is it Airtight Scorn? Or is it something else?
If I expected, the Mirror Match, for example, Airtight Scorn is a card that I want to the second copy.
Is it over Dispute?
Maybe right now it could be over Bozeju. If I don't expect, obviously, a lot of Tron, as we say before, I can just play more Counterspell over Bozeju, but also the Blood Moon, because if you want just the Magus of the Moon, we can just take 2 Magus and side out the Blood Moon. Blood Moon is here mainly for Zo or a card where they don't have... a removal or a Lightning Bolt from Magus.
Yeah, Creativity.
Creativity, yeah,
control.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you expected less of this kind of deck, you can pick out the Blood Moon for the second Airtight and leaving the Bozeju. So it's just based on, as we say, as the matchup that you can expect.
So something that I want to talk about there is that I think the fact that you don't need to dedicate that much for the Rhino's Mirror is part of why it's good. So, like, you can add these cards that would make you better in the mirror, but it's only going to be by a very little bit because the best cards in the Rhino's Mirror are kind of locked, like they are what they are. And so even if there's more Rhinos, the impact of adding cards for the mirror is a lot lower than adding cards for other matchups. Like, we kind of get that dynamic a lot in other formats as well. It hasn't happened as much in Modern before because it's usually quite broad. But I think even if there was more Rhinos incoming, which I think we can reasonably expect, I would be more worried about spending the sideboard slots to respond to other decks that we would expect to rise in lieu of Rhinos. Like, I think, I just think that the slots you add in, like, the Rhino's Mirror just doesn't matter enough for you to sacrifice all the other matchups for cards like Urtai Scorn that just aren't very good elsewhere, I think. Like, you can put an Urtai Scorn in the mirror and you'll be a little better, but not by a lot, right? Whereas if you have an extra Blood Moon against Amulet or Tron, it's, like, a really big deal, I think.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, because, Rhino's matchup, as you say, and as we say before, sometimes it's just maybe more luck-based as a matchup that you don't want to improve 100% because it's just more depending on how you draw during the game instead of I want to respond to the rhinos. For example, you can also go in for Commandeer if you want to try to get better rhinos matchup and improve in the same way Tron matchup. But yeah, not focusing on Mirror is a nice way to approach the matchup, honestly. We have two more Thread Regent in main deck for that reason. So.
Yeah, so to go back to the, like, how to play.
Yeah, the matchup.
These matchups. Yeah, let's start with the Mirror, since we're focusing on the Mirror. So again.
So Mirror matchup for me is more, you need to understand which kind of play you are based right now. So this meaning that you need to understand if you are the active player or the attacking player or the defensive player. This meaning that you need to understand if you want to counter their rhinos or playing your in response of their. For example, I just take some example that happens to me in Ghent. In Ghent, my I had three untapped land, and my opponent in my upkeep violent outburst and tried to cascading rhino. So I have three decision right now. That was I had in my hand Tishana, Force of Negation, Mystical Dispute, and Shardless Agent, and I had a suspending rhino on the with two counter. In this spot, we can just try to do three things. Arcast Force of Negation, but I expected that they can have Force of Negation in their hand. I can just try to Tishana and exposing me to their cascade in their turn, also if I have a Force of Negation, or I can just let them resolve and play my Shardless Agent.
Did you have a fourth land?
And I have the fourth land, okay, yes. Okay. So what I'm thinking that spot was I don't want to tap three land and try to Force of Negation that rhinos, because it's, for me, the worst play that I can do is just that it work for me if they have Force of Negation. I can so decide between Tishana and Shardless Agent. In that spot, I decide to go in for Shardless Agent because my Tishana, I want to use my Tishana for protect the rhino that come in the next turn, in two turns. That because...
Also, you can Tishana their Tishana?
Exactly.
Okay.
That was what I'm thinking. I have Mystical Dispute if they just want to tap three Force of Negation, but also if I have a second answer for their Tishana with my Tishana. So I want to defend the last rhino that I want to resolve instead of the one with Shardless Agent. That was the spot where I'm...
Okay. Okay, so you untap to you let the two rhinos happen.
Yeah.
Fourth land, Shardless.
Yes.
They force of negation.
And
you dispute.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, and then later your crush of footfalls goes on the stack. They try to Tishana, you Tishana their Tishana.
Yeah, exactly.
And now you have
two rhinos.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so that's a good suggestion.
That's the only spot where I'm where you should understand if you want to be the one that put pressure. So for example, if you are the first one that cascading, you just start to attacking and let them trade your rhinos, because you can always have untapped mana for trying to stopping them or cascading other rhinos while you are attacking. Otherwise, if you are the defensive one, you need to understand if you need to counter their rhino or just want to protect your cascading. That's the main difference. And this is not other strange thing that can happen, so obviously.
Yeah. Another thing that's important for listeners is the mulligan decisions. Mulligan decisions with this deck.
Yeah.
So what about the... you know, two landers without Fire Eyes. Like, what do you think about those? Like, obviously, this is a broad question, but this is something that when I play rhinos, I always look at this hand and be like, if I don't draw a third land, I lose the game. Like, is there a range whether, like, you keep or... I mean, obviously, it's open deck list, so...
So, yeah, you already know this... what you are playing against. For example, now that we have the Surveil land, it's clearly better. Taking
that's true.
Two land,
so you can take a risk.
Yeah, you can take more risk. Also, for example, one land and one Lorien Reveal is the same thing, so I can take more risk to keeping an hard hand against them. Also, for example, Dead Gone is not so wasted as a card. Obviously, if you have three in your hand, it's not good at the beginning, but having one or two, for example, is just okay to keep it if you have also Cascading Back, because you can take care about one of the Rhino instead of countering that. I know that is low, but it could be enough to take in time. The main reason. So the new land can improve this kind of mulligan decision in the mirror match, obviously.
Okay.
And for example, one hand that I keep in against, I don't know if it was the mirror match or the Murted matchup. No, maybe it was the Murted matchup, and we talk about that later. Mulligan decision in one kind of hand.
Yeah. So another interesting thing, I think you said it in your article about like which card to bottom. I think you had a 7-card end.
Yes.
You mulliganed, so you had to bottom a card in your hand. Dead. Correct me if I'm wrong. 3 lands.
Yes.
Crushing Footfalls, Violent Outburst.
Yes.
What were the other two?
Tishana and Mystical Dispute.
Tishana, Mystical Dispute. So you have 3 lands, 4 spells. What do you bottom? You're on the draw on the play. What were you?
I was on the draw.
You're on the draw. Okay. So this is a hand where most people be like, I mean, not most people be like, but like ideally you want to bottom Crushing Footfalls because it's a card that you want to have in your deck. You don't want to open with it. But I think a very important thing that you found out is that Crushing Footfalls is very good in the mirror match.
Yes.
In actually a lot of matchups, even against Murktide.
Yeah, exactly. Most of the time, suspending on turn one is better than cascading on turn
exactly.
three.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because you have the possibility to defend this our footfall. So, for example, in this spot, I bottom Violent Outburst.
Exactly. Yeah. So the card you bottom was Violent Outburst, which is ideally like the best card in the deck. So, you know, it's small things like this that make you like, you know, win matchup that all the time. So suspending Crushing Footfalls is great. And I remember you talking to somebody else playing Rhinos, and they said that they won a mirror match by going turn one Rhinos, turn two double Rhino.
Yeah.
Like exactly. Just suspending 3 Rhinos on top 2 turns in the mirror match, because you spend your time interact with your opponent, mana up to play Tishana or Arcas Force.
Yes.
And eventually you have the Rhinos coming down. There's no like Chalice, the fairy, like nothing to stop you, explosives.
Yeah. The main reason behind that kind of mulligan and why I'm bottom Outburst was that I want to be sure that my Rhinos come into play instead of I'll try to cascade on their turn 3 and see what happens. I'm preferring more the defending part, so I just we already know that we have to hope maybe the first two turns that there are not something that strange can happen. But otherwise, if we have the third land, we can defend easily our Rhino with Mystical Dispute plus Tishana open when they can come into play. So that was my thought about bottoming Outburst. Was better to be sure about playing Rhino instead of hoping that they don't have a counterspell.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, I think, a very important suggestion. Yeah. I think it's really important to understand that Crushing Footfalls is a very good card.
Yes.
In the mirror match.
Crushing Footfalls maybe sometimes is better than Shuttle's Agent, for example.
Yeah, or Outburst.
Or Outburst, obviously. Mm-hmm. Also against Murktide. Yeah, we'll talk about Murktide matchup in a few minutes probably, but against them, suspending the Footfall, meaning that you can defending their cast easily instead of...
Yeah, you can play around Spell Pierce and Flaster Storm much better because you have mana and everything.
Yeah, they need to have a counterspell for that. We have Fire and Dash for tax their mana in their end of turn, so we can just play that kind of spot better.
Yeah, I think there's a couple... let's go... Anthony, do you have any more questions for the mirror match?
Not particularly, I think. I mean, I think you explained it pretty well. Yeah,
going to the Murktide match, I think one of the hard questions is when to play the card Fire Eyes against Murktide. Because sometimes you'd be like, I want to tap your land in upkeep. Some other times you'd be like, I want to tap your land in end of turn so that you think you're keeping up mana for counterspell, but you don't actually. Let's say, you know, I have 3 mana. I'd be like, okay, I can play a channeler. I still have counterspell up. And then you go end of turn, tap your land, and now I don't have counterspell up anymore.
Most of the time, fire and ice, you want to. So there are two parts of this card, obviously, fire and ice. The fire part is important early game against Channeler because is our. It's strange to say, but is the worst card for us.
So it's worse than Raghavan.
Worse than Raghavan, yes. I'm talking about Raghavan in a different spot, just because I don't care about it so much. Game 1 is important to talk about Raghavan, game 2 and 3. But we don't care about their taking our card and having the treasure. So otherwise, I want to maximize my fire on the game 1 against Channeler, because it can help Murktide side to loot and finding every counterspell, or also the Lightning Bolt for close the game as fast as possible. That's the worst scenario that happens to me most of the time when I play against Murktide. So I need to you need to understand that part. On the other side, you want to use ice most of the time at the end of their turn, just because you want to tax as much as possible their mana. So not having a counterspell open or tax their spell pierce if possible, make sure that you're cascading one rhinos. So that's why I'm preferring most of the time to play end of turn instead of upkeep.
Okay. So the general rule against Murktide is to fire ice end of turn, whereas against Scam, it's upkeep.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, that's definitely important. And another question I wanted to ask you in the Murktide versus Rhinos matchup, game one, it's do you play around the card Spell Pierce? This is something that I find it very interesting, because sometimes I would be like living up a mana with Murktide without Spell Pierce, and you know, you don't play Consider anymore, so it's just exactly for Spell Pierce in your turn three, and like, you know, how do you decide when, like, maybe if you have too many cascade spells?
Yeah, obviously, when you have two or more cascading spells, you can just start a slamming card. I don't want to play around Spell Pierce when there is a Channeler 3-3 in play, and I need to put pressure on my side. So I can play around so many things, otherwise I just delay my Rhinos for nothing and I die from a Darcy.
Okay.
So this meaning for me that I want to try to slam it and see if they have it, they can just have it, and I don't play this Rhino until turn 5. That meaning that they can just finding a counterspell or something like this, so I just try to put pressure in my side. This is important when there is a Channeler in play. Otherwise, if there is nothing in play or also a Shredder, I try to slow roll the game as much as possible, because I can just as we can say, mental pressure to them. They can't tap it out with just a Shredder in play. They try to force us, or they just try to force to play two spell per turn to grow up their Shredder. So this meaning that we can just delay our Rhino and play around the Spell Pierce. And also for a Shredder part, when they play Shredder, we are, most of the time I see a lot of Rhinos player to Flame of Honor Shredder as soon as possible. For example, in one game, I just leave a Shredder in play until turn 8 or 9. And because he can't just play two spell per turn, otherwise he just expose him to having a Rhinos in play. So they have to respect our play, and their Shredder can't grow up so fast. So I just starting to wait, and when the Shredder have the first stack on the first trigger on the stack that can put the counter and go on 5, I just Flame of Honor it in their turn, and I resolve Shredder like this. And just it's just more patient games instead of going fast, depending on Darcy most of the time.
Yeah, for sure. Like if I have nothing in play, then it's like if I'm casting a Spell Pierce or a counterspell, I'm not gaining much. But if I have a Shredder or a Darcy, like I'm so happy if you play something so that I can cast my card and trigger my stuff. For sure. Yes, indeed.
It seems like a theme. Like a lot of what Pivo has said across both the Rhino's Mirror and Murktide suggests that Pivo's playing the Rhino's deck in a much more patient way, and for longer games, more looking to protect his threats. take a more slow but sure sort of approach than many people default to with rhinos, I think. I think that's worth noting. Like, Piva seems to be going for this type of game a lot more.
Yeah, for example, I watched your last match, day one. You were 6-2 when you played against Murktide.
Mm-hmm.
And in game two or three, I don't remember what it was, but like last game, you finished the game with like three outbursts in your hand.
Yeah.
Because you played every other threat first. You played, you know, Endurance, whatever, Subtlety, Flame of Honor, Tishana. You played every other threats. And then at the end, you played
the Outburst. Yeah.
Outburst, all right, whatever. Charlotte, like, I don't know what you had, but you finished the game with still two leftover Outbursts. Like, that's the very last threat you want to cast.
Yeah, it's not a rush, this kind of matchup. It's strange to think about that because Rhino is something that people think about. You have to put Rhino as fast as possible, but in this kind of matchup, also the mirror match or something like this, is not how you should play this game. Otherwise, you lose and you don't understand why you lose. Mostly because you're just thinking about I have to slam card. So yeah, I try to gain the max value about my card and play around every kind of card that they can have instead of just start slamming and see what happens.
And also, like, you, by playing patiently and end of turn, make Murktide burn mana. This is something that I always try to say as well. When you play against Murktide, you need to make them burn their mana. Like, they pass the turn with Counterspell up, and you don't play anything. Like, something like this. Like, and then and then you go, like, in a single turn, you play two spells, or, you know, you play against Spell Pierce. Or, I think another good thing that is, when Crashing Footfalls comes up, then you play, like, the turn, the suspend, let's say, so on turn 5, Crashing Footfalls comes in. On turn 4, end of turn, you slam a threat. They counter. Yeah. Then you wrap keep. You have another threat. Then you have another threat. Like, you need to pinpoint, like, you know, when to overload your opponent in threats. And, yeah, this is something that really makes a difference when playing this matchup. And again, Rhinos is, you know, it definitely has some easy games, but the ones that are hard are actually very hard.
Yes.
What about, do you have anything else to say about Murktide or?
No, just one thing, one fast thing is just game two, game three, there is a different way to approach this matchup because there is no more Darcy, for example. They have more Engineer Explosive or Chalice of the Void. So the most important card that they can have is not Sledge Shredder, but Raghavan. Raghavan not mainly for the card that he steal from us, but for the treasure part. Because our counter spell mostly are Mystical Dispute, Poseid, because we took out Force of Negation against them. So killing Raghavan, if possible, soon in the game, help you to gain value from Mystical Dispute. That's the main problem of game 2 or game 3. Instead of, for example, Shredder, we can just leave their turn 2 Shredder with a bubble or something like this, but we need to respect Raghavan in this kind of matchup.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's definitely a nice difference between game 1 and 3 is that you have not 1 but 3 Mystical Dispute. Against Yawgmoth, so that's a matchup that you have showed the viewers who watch the RC top 4. You won semifinals and finals,
yeah,
pretty convincingly. And how did it go overall in the weekend? Did you, like, what was your final score in the weekend against Yawgmoth? Like, would you say it's a very good matchup? Or just, you think you should change something? Because Yawgmoth would probably be, like, the second most popular deck, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I think that, honestly, I don't have a correct answer for that. Because for me, I think that the matchup is even, from my perspective. Because if they just playing Halfling plus Grist and Yawgmoth or the second threat, this kind of game is unwinnable for us. Otherwise, they have that kind of hand where they can just cast Grist turn 3 and we just subtly it and then we cascading. So there are this kind of matchup is just a one-way game where if Yawgmoth is behind, he cannot take it back easily the game. Otherwise, the same is for us. If we are behind the game, we can just take so easily. The only thing that happens this in Ghent, and I win 3 times against Yawgmoth and lose only 1, is that you need to respect Yagmoth sometimes and understanding if there is time to cascade or not. That happens in a game where they have Grist in play. I can just in my turn three play Shardless Agent, and I was pretty sure that I have Yagmoth in their turn four. In that spot, I don't play Shardless. I have Tishana in my hand and Flame of Honor. I just pass the turn. They play Yagmoth, and they pass the turn, obviously, with Yagmoth in play, and I Flame of Honor end of turn. The thing that happens is that he brought him board for taking advantage from Yagmoth, and then I play my Shardless Agent. In this spot, my Rhinos are bigger than their Tread, and my Rhinos are a real Tread. If I play that, if I play Shardless Agent on turn 3 and they go Yagmoth, he shrink my Rhinos, and that meaning that I cannot put pressure as much as I want. So you need to focus on that. You need to try to see the future, or try to
predict
yeah, that kind of play that can ruin your game if you want to cascade, or just you can slow roll one turn and let that your Rhinos be the real threat instead of the shrinked one.
Yeah, that's a good point. When I played Yawgmoth lately, and I beat Rhinos with the -1/-1 proliferate,
mm-hmm.
and then they just become 2/2s and
do nothing. Yes.
They do nothing because you have like your 2/2s and 2/4s. So yeah, that's a great point that you just said. Although I guess by cutting one dismember for a dead gone, you are maybe weakening a bit against that. But at the same time, you have no more, I guess, answer to Murktide with the bounce spell.
Yeah.
So.
It's something that we can just think about if going for that gone or not, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of makes sense. Like, if we think that it's not a ton of value to attacking the mirror and that Yawgmoth is going to be the second most popular deck, maybe that's the other deck that you have to gun for. Like, I thought in the sideboard about stuff like Tron or whatever that people would play as a response to Rhinos, but it's also very natural to just play Yawgmoth because I think that was really the most overperforming deck in terms of the raw stats, if I recall correctly. So it would make sense to warp against it, right?
I definitely would say that Yawgmoth was the... I mean, it wasn't the best deck, because, of course, you won and Rhinos had the best... had a very good win percentage as well. But I think that Yawgmoth also came out very, very, very well out of the last RC and...
Yeah, I think that Yagmoth is a nice deck that can, if you are a good player of Yagmoth, you can have a nice result with that. Otherwise, if you don't practice a lot, this kind of deck is just, for me, for example, I don't know how to play it, and for me, sure. It's just a sealed deck. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand, because I know that I'm bad with Yagmoth, honestly.
Yeah, I feel like lately Magic has become very much like,
rewarding skill.
Yeah, decks are very hard. Like, even in Pioneer, I'm noticing how, like, many decks actually are very difficult to play, and in Modern as well. Deck difficulty raised, I think, lately.
Yes.
In Magic.
I mean, that's just... that is part of the function of the metagame becoming narrower, I think. Like, there's more interaction, and that makes... the difficulty of decks higher, and that also condenses the metagame. So that kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah, so what is going to be our prediction for like the most popular decks, you think? Like, so we said Rhino's Yogg. Do you expect Scam to still be third despite not doing so well this past weekend?
Maybe Amulet right now. I think that Amulet is maybe in America, I don't know. It could be more popular than...
It's going to be like
Amulet,
1,500 people. So yeah. I think it's not going to be our 10 Twitter Amulet people that post a lot about it. I think that...
For the average modern player, like, would you just throw away your deck because of, like, one bad weekend? Like, I don't know. I just can't really see people switching so quickly or drastically. It seems like it's really hard to do that. Am I wrong?
I feel like, though, people who played Rakdos Scam aren't, pet deck players. You know, they're like, I play Rakdos camp because it's very good and I want to win. So if they, you know, they are very much like they can change. It's not like I'm the Titan player who just play their deck always and
forever and ever. In the bad or good metagame is just an amulet.
Speaking of which, Anthony, do you know I just bought the last cards and I have a full ready to go amulet deck.
Oh, that's nice, I guess. A luck deck.
I can become an amulet player as well now.
Oh. Wait, is it a luck deck or not? I can't remember.
No, amulet? No, it can't be a luck deck.
Oh, okay. I thought you said it.
No,
okay.
I think it's difficult.
I mean, it's definitely a deck that if you don't know what you're doing, you can never win. So obviously, you might get lucky. You might need luck to win, but definitely a deck that requires skill to be.
Oh, I agree with that very much. Well.
Yeah, I look forward to that. Me and Pivo will go to the LMS Prague in March.
Yes.
It's going to be modern. We also have the Four Seasons.
Yeah, we have tons of tournaments right now. We just book a lot of tournaments.
Yeah, we're teaming together. Me, Arstu, and Tommy, which is the person that works with me at Mango's Workshop. We're going to do... Team last time we teamed together, it was a disaster.
Yeah, I'm the one that dragging the ball.
Last time we teamed together, it was a disaster. But okay. This time it's going to
change. Pivo is stronger now. He can carry two people. It's fine.
No.
yes, he can.
Especially to drag in to lose a lot in the team to be in the
very hands,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, any other things you want to share with the? I guess we haven't mentioned the matchup against Scam. Did you play against Scam at all?
Honestly, no.
I think you didn't.
Maybe no.
If I've never seen you play against it.
Against Scam, not honestly.
There's not that many in day two, I think.
No, you not have a good conversion rate in the tournament. But otherwise, if you have any kind of question, you can just write in the
comments. In the comments.
In the comments.
I was afraid you said write to me.
No. In the comment of this podcast or in the video.
Yeah.
Well, I remember Pivo and I, we did have a productive conversation about that matchup in testing, right? If I recall correctly. The biggest thing is, you can talk about it, I guess.
Do you want to talk about the matchup?
Scam we might as well very quickly Rhinos? Mention. Yeah, we might as well. I mean, I think it would be a big enough deck that it would be...
Oh, yeah. The one that we talk about, there are some kind of end that can happen is when you have only one removal, for example, and they go into one Raghavan.
Mm-hmm.
In this kind of spot, and thanks, Anthony, for remembering that kind of situation. In this kind of spot, you need to understand if Raghavan is the real threat or not. For example, an end where I have only one removal, that could be Fire and Ice or Dead Gone, for example, I'll never want to kill Raghavan, turn one Raghavan, because I want to take care about Doughty.
Okay.
We can just take 4-8 damage from Raghavan and let them play the treasure. It's not like Murktide where Raghavan... help them to looting and find counterspell. Raghavan right now just help to arcast grief, but we don't care about grief. We need to take care about Doughty, and if happens that we have only one removal, try to save for Doughty mainly.
Okay.
I know that they can protect with the treasure with the not dead after all, but is the correct play to take in against Scam.
Okay, yeah, that's definitely interesting because you're less afraid of Raghavan from Scam than you are the Raghavan from Murktide.
Yes.
And also, yeah, just Scam has Doughty, which Murktide doesn't have. So if you have that gone, you save it for that. That's very good. Another question I have, do you always subtlety the turn one grief? As in, because sometimes I remember a game I've played recently with Rhinos when actually that was a question I asked myself, or I was playing Murktide. But like basically they went like land grief and I had subtlety and I like auto played it immediately. But they just put back the grief on top and just the next turn just did it again and
yeah,
I felt like I lost, you know, four cards instead of two. This is something that I don't know if it happened to you, if you've ever thought about it.
It happens one time, but it's not something maybe that I can play around. The important part is that, yeah, we lost a lot of card for that. If they put on top, they don't have, obviously, the turn one play.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they have it, it's right. You can just not caring about that at all. But mainly is a play that I probably always do that for saving a lot of damage. Because four damage is a lot for this kind of deck. We take some damage with the land, with shock land. Also, right now with the Surveil one, we can just dig a little bit more for every kind of matchup.
So you should be like, you go top deck mode, you opt to top deck Cascade card, and you have 8, and also 2 Merc dice, so like 10 hit. And you're like, I'm happy to play the top deck game against the scam.
If they just put on top, meaning that they waste 4 card for our 4 card.
Or 4, because you skip a turn.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I think we've said a bunch of things, and so me and Pivo now after this podcast are gonna go to the Mangos Workshop, to my office, to my other office, and we're gonna play Murktide versus Rhinos.
Yeah.
Do you have your Thundering Falls and Head's Mage ready?
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
The deck.
Yes, me too. I have a Thundering Falls ready, so we're gonna be playing some Modern. It's gonna be exciting. Tonight I actually have a sealed qualifier, a sealed RCQ, because I have to qualify to the regional championship. So I'll be playing a Friday night qualifier. You don't come, right?
No. I need to take care about my girlfriend right now.
He's qualified for everything, Mango. Remember that.
Well, I'm going to play in LMS Praga.
Yeah.
Because I enjoy a lot to play games. So I don't care about if I'm ready or not.
Nice. Yeah. I love it.
I also register for the Sunday sealed. So even if I win this Friday, I'll go on Sunday to do some more sealed preparation, which is always important with the...
That's good.
The new set coming out soon, and so I have to open Hedge Maze. I don't have it. So I need to get some cards. What about you, Anthony? What do you do this weekend? Just testing?
I'll be testing. I'll keep an eye on the regional championships as well. Obviously, that'll be very exciting to see. So yeah, that's what I'll be doing. Watching that, testing. Yep. Yeah,
it's gonna be a long tournament over there. Definitely, a lot of people. And I think that's all. I wanted to shout out to our new Patreon, Luciano Leon Jr. Thank you so much for the subscribing to our Patreon, patreon.com/carnies, where you can go and meet everyone in there. There's also Pivo, one of our first Patreon, maybe even the first one. So it's nice.
I'm the first one.
Yeah. So it's nice to see you. The best, yes indeed. And kind of it again. As people said earlier, if you have any questions about Rhinos, you can shout out in these comments either on YouTube or by tagging me on Twitter, by tagging you on Twitter.
Yeah, you can tag me. Yeah. Sometimes I can try to respond.
But... No, people always respond. I gotta tell him, like, you don't have to respond to everyone.
He's too kind. He really is kinder than the rest.
Yeah, so,
I know.
Also, like,
I have tons of messages that I respond to on Twitter, and if I show how much I respond, you can just maybe start flaming me.
You know how, like, a Magic player love to ask, like, the most open-end question ever? And he was, like, answering, there's open-end question. That's great. Very good, very good. No, but again, he released the free and open deck guide, so definitely check this out, and I think that's it. Do you want to say something, Anthony Pivo, before seeing him in Chicago in a few weeks?
I'm going to see him very soon. I don't need to say anything in particular. I'll see you very soon, Pivo.
Yeah, we'll just have an hug as soon as possible.
We will, every time. I'm a Pivo maximalist.
Yes. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you next week.
See you, guys.
Cheers.